another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler.
Hello, this is Jack Spierko with yet another edition of the Survival Podcast. As always, one man's view of the changing world and the changing economic times and the things that we can all do to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't. Folks, today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to talk one more time about this $700 billion bailout. This time I'm not going to do it with a whole lot of anger, though. I'm going to just wrap up the week and tell you what to expect based on my my ability to kind of perceive what's going to happen and what I've been saying is going to happen all along going into tonight's debate and then through the weekend. Because I think, here's the issue, I've just been thinking about this, and today's podcast is going to be kind of short. I'll be surprised if this goes 20 minutes. I was just thinking about how people panic. And I remember there was a time, about almost 10 years ago, I guess it was. My son was a lot younger. You know, he turned into a hell of a young man. He's now in his second year of college. But, you know, at this point in time, he was like 8, 9 years old, something like that, maybe 10. I can't remember exactly what year this was. But we had a major thunderstorm pop up into the area out of nowhere, like they do in the summertime around here. And my wife, his mother, was gone, and she was actually kind of in the path of the tornado that actually hit and managed to avoid it by some miracle. And he was totally freaked out, and the wind was blowing, and you could hear it, and houses less than a mile from us were literally ripped to the ground, even though we were pretty much left unscathed. And they came on the radio, because the TV was out at this point, and said that a tornado was confirmed on the ground. And at this point, the tornado was about a mile away from our house and going away from us. So I wasn't too concerned about that particular tornado at that point, and the kid was freaked. And I just thought in my head, because I can read a map, that that tornado is right near a power substation that runs all the power for our area. And if it's going where they said it's going to go, it's going to take everything out in that power substation and shut the power off. And I had that entire thought in less than a second in my head. I realized that. And I got down on one knee in front of the boy, and I put my hand on his shoulder and said, "Matt, I don't want you to be afraid. The power's about to go out." And it probably took maybe 2 seconds after I said that for the power to go out. He was actually a lot calmer. And he was calmer because somebody was able to tell him what was going to happen. And that meant that the other things they said were likely to be the case as well. Your mom's going to be okay. The thing is past us. We're out of danger. All right, those were the two big issues for him at the time. What I'm telling you now is that our nation may go through some real pain right now, but we're going to be okay if this is all we have to face is this financial meltdown. All right, and that we're going to be able to get through it together. And it will actually be, if we do this right, better off as a nation. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to do it right. But that said, if I can tell you what's about to happen, then the things that I tell you next week, you'll probably trust a lot more, okay, if these things come close to happening. We'll start out with something I already said was going to happen that already did happen. And again, I'm not clairvoyant here, folks. I'm not smarter than any one of you. I just pay attention to what's going on, and I listen to the people that the media says are crazy. All right, and those the people that the media says are crazy that have, you know, master's degrees and PhDs. When the media tells you somebody that's had a 7 or 8 year education in college, that's had prestigious positions, is crazy or paints them as crazy, you better listen to them. So what I told you last week was that you better watch Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, and we've seen what's happened with them. We don't want to be investment banks anymore. Give us some of that $700 billion you keep talking about, right? Help us out. But I also told you WaMu was done. WaMu was toast. It was going to happen. I said that their people came out and said, "No, we're not." And it was like a little kid in the playground. "You're in trouble." "No, I'm not." Well, when WaMu went home to mommy and daddy, WaMu got smacked behind the ear. And federal regulators went in and seized the bank and then sold them to J.P. Morgan for, I don't know, maybe 10 cents on the dollar, if that, of what they were worth, even with all their problems. Less than, what, $1.1 billion or something like that? I mean, I could be wrong on the number there, but it's somewhere between $1 and $2 billion, all right? for Washington Mutual, one of the biggest banks in the world. All right? It had to happen. It had to happen. They had too many things coming. And they didn't actually completely fail. The Fed realized they couldn't wait for them to fail. They couldn't let them fail. So, we've seen WaMu come and go. Now I want to tell you what's going to happen today so you don't freak out when it happens. We're not going to get a deal today. We might have another bullshit story on the steps of the Capitol building where somebody says they have a deal in principle like they told us yesterday, like the Democrats lied about, but we're not getting a deal today. Nothing will get signed today. Nothing will go to the president's desk today. The debate, I do not know if McCain will show up for the debate or not. One way or another, he will leverage the situation to his advantage because he's a politician, and that's what politicians do. And one way or another, Barack Obama will leverage the thing to his advantage because he's a politician, and that's what politicians do. Both of them will try to paint the other one as being responsible and or incompetent for what's going on. The stock market will open today with a tremendous thud to the ground. So we're going to be opening about 10 minutes from the time I'm doing this. Futures are already down like 200 points. The market will drop today at least 400 to 500 points, if not more. It may drop close to 1,000 points today. People will freak out. This is a plan. This is not, no one thought the deal would be done this week. Even Bush and Paulson, who have been screaming for it, because they knew the American people, even the sheeple, would say, no, I don't want this. So they've had a couple big dips that scared everybody a little bit. It rebounded when they talked about this thing. They're going to let it look like it might not happen again. When it does, the market will plunge on its back. All right? And then Monday, probably Sunday afternoon, like they always do, they'll talk about the deal's ready. The Congress has worked day and night through the weekend. Those guys, man, they really are out for you. They're really out for me. They're trying to help. They were willing to work on a Saturday. All right? And they'll come to us with the deal on Monday. And all these little talking points and, you know, bickering points and protecting the taxpayer and reassigning interest rates and no golden parachutes. We will not be presented with the plan. On Monday or Sunday, we will be presented with the bullet points that they think we want to hear, and we will hear how the plan is now a salvation, required bipartisan support, and now let's get on with the business of the election. When that occurs, the stock market will rocket back almost everything it's lost, and it will hang on up there for a few weeks. Again, I am not a financial advisor, but my belief is if you've been hanging on and you really wanted to pull your money out and you dealt with the big loss already and you're wishing you could recoup some of it, that will be the time to take it. That will be the time to move into safer investments because I'm not a genius and all these big money guys know this is going to happen. And they're going to pull their money today. They're going to wait for the drop. They're going to stick it back in. They're going to wait for the deal. And when the spike comes, and they can make 10% in a week or more, because they've done option trading, and they can make 100% on their money in a week, they are going to take their profits when it goes up. All right? And it will come right back down. Everybody will look around and realize what we've done. Everybody will look around and realize that the value of the currency just dropped by 13%. And going into the end of the year, we will begin to spiral in to the true death spiral of this recession. And we will go into a deep recession that will not probably be as bad as 1930, but will be worse than the 1970s. Okay? It will be worse than the 70s. It will be worse than what happened in 87. All right? It will be worse than the early 90s. A lot worse. And people are going to blame somebody. This is why McCain and Obama are scared crapless as to what to do right now. And this is why Congress hasn't cut the deal yet. The election is still too far away. If we were 18 days or 18 months from an election, the deal would have already been backdoored and through. They already know the deal they're going to give us. They already know. They aren't arguing about anything. They're grandstanding. They're playing theatrics. The bill is written, folks. I'm telling you that right now. They all know. All right? They're going to sit around on Saturday and have a few drinks and talk about how to sell it to us. All right? They're not going to talk about what goes in it on Saturday and Sunday. And they're going to look like they did a great job, and they're going to come out, and we'll have one of these old congressmen that his hair will look all sweaty and matted. And he's going to step up in front of the microphone, and he's going to tell you how hard everybody worked. He's going to tell you how everybody didn't get exactly what they wanted, but in the end, they think they got the American people what's best for them. And the spot and the cycle will begin at that point. That is what is going to occur. Alright? And I could be wrong. I am one man. This is my opinion. But I'm going to tell you that what I just painted for you is going to look a lot like that. The wild card is that they come up with a deal about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon today. But I don't think so. I mean, they could do that. But they're going to face a wrathful populace. All right, we are angry right now. About 80% of the people or more feel no bailout right now. We don't want the bailout. Right? When it comes right down to it, first, we don't want it. Even the ones that say, yeah, we got to do it, don't want it. So what they know is if they do it, and if by the 4th of November, 7th of November, whatever election day is this year, right, that the spiral begins before the election and we got what we didn't want and it didn't work, we're all going to be pissed when we go to the ballot box. And you know what, folks? Some of me hopes it happens that way. Maybe the American people will go to the ballot box pissed off. And maybe we'll clean them out. But I ain't getting my hopes up for it yet. I think they'll hold it together. I think that the Saudis and the Mexicans and the Canadians have ramped up oil production to artificially keep oil prices down, right? Because they want to keep everything level, because they want to know who they're going to deal with. And they want to deal with whoever's going to be here on their terms. And I think that, you know, this is not shilling for Obama, folks, because I don't want him. I'll take McCain over Obama, but I think so would the Saudis. I think the Saudis would much prefer a McCain-Palin presidency than an Obama-Biden presidency. And the Saudis can push the price of oil down anytime they want to. They can't do it forever. They can certainly do it for a couple of months. It's what they've been doing. They've jacked up production. At the same time, we've scaled back purchasing to keep the price artificially low. All right? There's a lot of maneuvering going on right now. Low for oil prices are good for us, terrible for Russia. Russia wants to see oil prices go back up. So does Venezuela. All right? They're forming an alliance. They're running war games together. All of these things are coming to pass, not because I'm a genius, because anybody that actually sits down and looks at it could come up with no other conclusion, because all the evidence is there. We still have a free enough society full of information, right, that if you want to know what's happening, why it's happening, and how it's going to happen next, if you want to know who's behind something, follow the money, all right? And you can still figure out where the money's coming from. And why have they allowed it to be that way? So they can create the illusion of freedom for people. Because they know most people are too apathetic, lazy, and incompetent to go out and get the information and put it together and figure it out for themselves. And they know that most of the time when someone like me goes out and does it and starts telling people, they go, that guy's nuts. He's crazy. Well, folks, the problem with that is that I'm not talking to the mass population here. I'm talking to informed, intelligent people who have already figured out parts of this for themselves. And all I'm helping you do, and what you're helping me do, because a lot of this stuff is you guys send me an email and I look at it and I add it to what I already know. So collectively, we're deconstructing this thing together as a group. So because of that, I can't be painted as a madman, because I'm telling you what you intrinsically know to be true. All right, you're helping me form that opinion and form that thought process. We're doing this together. So what do we do? Well, one, even though it's probably an exercise in futility, remember, I'll never tell you what to vote for, how to vote for it, or what to tell your elected officials. But if you believe that this bailout is wrong in principle, call your Congress critter and tell him you want him to vote against it. Tell him you don't want any of this bullshit if that's how you feel. If you want it, call him and tell him you want it. But one way or another, this is a major event for our nation. This is a fork in the road where we as a people have to collectively decide. So get off your ass, take a side, call your congressman, and draw a line in the sand. And go on record in your heart, because it's going to make dealing with the reality of the future easier for you. If you get what you want or if you get what you don't want, the fact that you didn't remain silent will let you sleep better at night. All right. If you call your senator, which I call your senator too, I can't get Kay Bailey Hutchison's people on the phone. It's always busy. I think she's checked out. All right. I got Cornyn on the phone, and I was pretty sure from what I had talked to the guy about already, he was against this thing. When I got him on the phone yesterday, basically said they told me Senator Cornyn did not yet have a position on this. And I said, well, I'm not even going to go on you about my position. All I want you to do is tell Senator Cornyn he better damn well have a position. Don't give me this crap that, you know, it's not been long enough. It just came on suddenly, and, you know, it's not in the Senate yet anyway. So, you know, hey, I have a position, and I'm a redneck in Texas that drives a pickup truck and a Jetta. All right? That goes fishing and hunting. He's a senator. We sent him to Washington to have positions, to be a leader. And I suggest he have a position. When I get done with this podcast, I'm calling his office, and I'm going to ask him if he has a freaking position yet. And I'm going to tell him that if he doesn't, I'm about to tell 1,000 people that he still doesn't have a position. All right? And I'll come back and let you guys know that on Monday. He doesn't know it's going to be Monday before I do that. But I'm going to let him know that. All right, and I'm going to try to get Kay Hutchison on the phone again, and I'm going to find out what her position is, and I'm going to tell her what my opinion is. All right, I don't necessarily think it's going to change anything, but damn well I will be on record with the people that work for me, that I pay out of my pocket, because that's what your congressman is. He's your employee, you pay him. Call him up, tell him how you feel here. The next thing that you can do is get prepared. All the things you've been doing, ramp it up a little bit. By December, things are going to be kind of dark, folks. It's not the end of the world, but be prepared. Save your money. If you're thinking about buying something you do not need that will not help you during a recession right now, don't spend the money. Put it in your pocket. Follow cowboy logic to double your money over the next 90 days. Cowboy logic is the way you double your money is you fold it in half and you stick it back in your pocket. That's my invest. You want investment advice? There's my investment advice. Anything you can convert to cash, you're comfortable converting to cash, fold it in half, stick it in your pocket. Metaphor, right? Don't walk around with 10 grand in your pocket. All right? But don't spend your money where it doesn't need to be spent, and don't trust any investments right now. If you see the spike and you feel in your gut it's time to take some profit, you might want to do it. Because they promise you other people are going to, and when they take their profit, you're going to lose. That's going to happen. Big spike followed by a slide and then a big drop. That's going to happen. All right? Because the fundamentals of the economy are not sound. That is a lie. All right? We've outsourced half of our production in the past 10 years. Our debt has doubled during George Bush's presidency, and he's supposed to be a fiscal conservative. And compared to Barack Obama, he is a fiscal conservative. He has been spending less money than Obama would like. Obama wants more money spent. There's a good chance that clown's going to win the election. There's a great chance he's going to win the election. A week ago, I would have told you, no way, it's McCain all the way. He cinched it up with these tactical moves. People are scared. And when people are scared, they cling to change. All right? They look for change. Obama's the candidate of change. The public opinion has swayed, and all the mushy middle has gravitated back to Barack Obama during this crisis. He's come through it looking very calm, cool, and collected because he has no dog in the hunt here. No matter what happens, he can paint it where he wins. McCain has come off frantic because despite my misgivings about the guy, he actually cares what the hell happens. And he's trying to figure out the best way to fix it. I think he's wrong about how to fix it, but I think he's making the attempt. All right, and that's why he looks frantic, because he looks like a man that really knows what's about to happen, and it hurts his heart. He doesn't want to see it. That's what you got from McCain. That's not an endorsement. Folks, I'm not voting for him. All right, I've made my decision. I'm going to write in Chuck Baldwin, Constitution Party. You do whatever you want in a presidential election. All right, I just want to be very clear. I'm telling you what I think is going to occur, why I think it's going to occur, and what's going on right now. All right, so shore up your investments. Get out when this spike comes, if you think it's going to, if you don't believe me that there's going to be a spike and you want to jump now, you do what you want. You talk to your advisor, you do what you want. But I'm telling you that when that spike comes, the little bit that I still have in the market's coming out. That's what I'm going to personally do. I don't want to ride this thing out once that happens. And I do think it's going to come. And I do think it's going to be big. Because we're going to see a bunch of stupidity after this deal's handed down. All right? Don't waste your money. I've already said that, but I gotta say it again. Don't waste your money in the coming months. Scale when you start. You're gonna probably start Christmas shopping soon. You know what? Scale back on the amount you spend on Christmas. All right? They're gonna tell you. You're gonna get the campaign soon. It's your patriotic duty to go into debt for Christmas. That if these retailers don't go into black, oh my God, the economy's gonna melt down. And you know what? Look back at the person that's giving you that message and say, "By God, that's why we just gave these idiots $700 billion." So the economy wouldn't melt down. How's it going to melt down if I don't go out and buy 10 Tickle Me Elmos this year? Bullshit, right? Don't waste your money. Think of how to have Christmas this year be special for you and your family. Make it about you and each other. Remember what Christmas was in 1965. And try to make this year's Christmas 1965's Christmas instead of 2008's Christmas. Keep the money in the bank. Keep storing up some extra food. Be prepared for what may come. Have a plan of what to do if you can't get to work because people are rioting in the freaking street. All right? Think about how you can avoid it. And above all, realize that our bigger risk is something else happening. While all this is going on, a major natural disaster, some type of pandemic flu event or something like that, that's your bigger risk. So be prepared, not because of the economy, but because of compounding effects to possibly have to stay put for 2 months or more. All right? At least 2 months or more. Get ready for that to be a potential happening. If you have a secure, safe bug out location, start storing some stuff there. I'm going up to Arkansas this weekend. Not this weekend, next weekend, folks. Taking my sister's coming into town. Her and my wife and I, we're going to go up there. And we're going to take some stuff with us. So we're going to start increasing our stockpile up there. All right? In most situations, people would tell you that are level-headed and rational, you don't run away, you bug in. And they're right. Unless you happen to live in a major city and you have a safer place to go. Don't go out and buy a tent and a Coleman lantern and a sleeping bag and think you're going to run off to the national park and sleep under a tree and be safer that way. Trust me, your house is probably going to be a hell of a lot safer. All right? But just be prepared. Be prepared to survive 90 days without leaving your house. Get yourself into that situation as quickly as you can. I'm not saying that you're going to need it. I don't think you will unless we get an aggravating circumstance, right? Unless when it rains, it pours this time, all right? But if you get yourself into that position, as all this stuff starts to crash down around the economy, you know what you're going to do? You're going to look at it and go, yep, that's what's going to happen. And I'm okay, and my family's okay, and we're going to eat well. We're going to have full bellies, and we're going to be able to keep our house warm. Go out and cut some wood. Right? If you got a fireplace, go out and cut some wood. If you don't have a fireplace, get some other way to heat your home. Power goes out, don't worry about it. Maybe it's not even the power or the gas cut off. Maybe it's just, you know, we're going to supplement our heating this year. Right? I'm not going to have a $400 electric bill in December this year. I'm going to burn some logs in the fireplace. I'm going to go down, you know, drive. If you live in a city where they're still building some homes, drive out there. There's plenty of trees they push over and they leave in a pile. Eventually they burn them. No one cares usually. Usually, check your local laws and the codes and whatnot. No one usually cares if you go out and cut that stuff down. You know? Go out and get ready for a cold, hard winter. Prepare. Do that. Everything will be all right, folks. So let's watch the rest of the day. I'm going to go ahead and cut this one off now. All right? Let's watch the rest of the day and see what happens. Let's see if we get the last-minute deal today, or we get the hard-fought deal over the weekend. I'm betting on the hard-fought deal over the weekend. As I close down, remember, we now have a new forum. There's even links to active posts on the site now. You go to survivalpodcast.com and look in the left-hand corner, and you'll see recent posts from the forum, and you can either go into individual ones, or you click the top link and go directly to the forum itself. And let's start some discussions. Come in and talk about this episode with me. Come to the blog, thesurvivalpodcast.com, and click on this episode, which will be at the top. And, in the comments section, tell me your thoughts about what I had to say today. Let's get a dialogue going. We might take some discussion into the forum, but let's continue to discuss it on the blog as well. And that's important. And the other thing is, if you haven't joined my listener appreciation contest, folks, I want to reach as many people as I can. I'm amazed at the growth that we're seeing. Join the contest. You can either win an iPod or some silver. The silver might be the better bet right now. It's going to be up to you which one you take. I haven't changed the contest rules to point that out, but I've said several times now that somebody asked, if I win the iPod, can I have $150 worth of silver instead? Done. We'll figure out how to make it happen if that's what the winner wants. So join the listener appreciation contest. And that'll really go a long way to helping the contest or the site grow. We are well over 700 listeners just in the FeedBurner stats. My goal is to get us to 1,000. When that happens, that's when I'm giving out the prize for the listener appreciation contest. And I'll tell you what, folks, I know I'm already reaching more than 1,000 people because not everybody subscribes to the feed. That this show's going great, and I'm reaching people because I think we're talking about the truth here together, folks. I know it's really you guys listening to me go on for 30, 40 minutes at a time. You don't get to call in like you do with talk radio. We'll get there someday, but I do list every email, everything that comes through a feedback form, everything that I happen to see. I can't keep up with the forum already. You guys are just past me. I can't see every thread, but I try to read most of them, and I am trying to build more shows about the subjects you want to hear about. From practical matters to politics to preparations and the economy. Everything and anything in between. We're working on the redesign of the site. We're going to have T-shirts coming out. Things are exciting around here. And once again, I'd just like to extend my heartfelt thank you to every single one of you that takes your time during the day to listen to me, to participate in what we're doing here. It means a lot to me. And I will never, ever take any of you for granted. You have my word on that as a patriot. Again, this has been Jack Spierko with another edition of the Survival Podcast, helping you figure out how to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
You can scream, and you can holler. It really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.